been a great pleasure to be here. I wrestled with the flesh. You wanted to use an excuse, you know, I don't want to come, I don't feel good, and I have, and I haven't, but the Lord is good, let me tell you. And I asked for your prayers this afternoon. A lot of things on my mind, but I want to start, since you've mentioned peace and trust, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, or stayed on thee, actually, because he trusteth in thee. I've had on my mind fear. Fear, to me, is the opposite of peace. I've been looking at a verse over in Job. It says in chapter 3, the very last two verses, for the thing which I greatly feared. Do y'all have something you greatly fear? We all do. It may be death. It may be life. It may be success. Because we don't like change. We may fear change. May fear being alone. Poverty. We all have something. Brother Allen and I share another one, and that's spiders. See, we all have a fear. Snakes, whatever it is. They destroy our peace. I have a fear of what our nation is becoming. And I'm not going to go into it. You all know what's going on. It's dark. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's enough right there. I've seen more selfishness. It's all about me. What I want. I don't care about you. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. We all experience it. What are we going to do? The answer to the problems of our nation is, and I've talked about this many times, and I know you've heard it many times, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. I don't intend to go there this morning, but I'll quote it this afternoon. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. We quote that a lot, but did you ever go down and read the last part of that chapter? It's what happens if they don't. We have fears. I had a little poem that I borrowed from somebody. Some of these things are very unreasonable. I mean, it's just fear. I mean, as a child, I used to fear going, when I was probably 12 years old, go to bed and there was something going to get me before the night was over. I went through that for months. Wasn't no peace in going to bed, I'll tell you. Something was going to get me. The only thing in the room was my little brother, and he's not very scary. He's 8 years younger than me. But there was a stark fear of something. Yeah. There's a little poem I borrowed. Last night I saw upon the stair a little man that wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, I wish he'd go away. There's something we fear. And I think fear, in a large sense, is because we forget to trust. Has not God fulfilled your every need? Has he not kept his promises? Some people have a fear of hell. There's a scripture over there, and I'll turn to it. In John chapter 8, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." A lot of folks don't have the freedom of the truth. Recently had an occasion to talk with someone very near to me whose daughter was getting married. She was marrying a fellow that had been married a couple of times. They didn't know what, where they go worship. She would have been an adulterer for marrying him, and she would go to hell. Period. No redemption. No forgiveness. The fear and the rage that was in this man's heart for his daughter. Imagine that. By one act, you're going to hell. That's not the truth. All that Christ died for shall live with him in heaven. Without the exception of one. That's the truth. That's grace. Not by my works, or your works, or the preacher's works, or the government's works, or the church's. It's by the blood of Christ. What's the truth worth to you? It takes away some fears, doesn't it? It gives you some peace. I don't know how he reconciled it, but he walked his daughter down the aisle. And the way he believes it, he must have been walking her to the pits of hell. Unless he's reconciled that somehow. It's actually that little brother that's 8 years younger than me. It's his daughter. We talked a little bit, and he said he believed that. I said, "Well, that's not the God I believe." That's all we said about it. I hope to have opportunity someday. You know, God is so good. He puts men in places like one-on-one. I may have opportunity to preach before congregations, but I've had many opportunities to witness to folks who needed God. And I don't get the credit, Brother Randy. God led them there. It's like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, one-on-one. Sometimes it kind of bounces off of me, and I'll give you an example. There's a brother I see in the hallway up at work. He's waiting for appointments, usually with the VA over there. He and I talk often, talk about the Lord, another fella, young black fella, come up behind us who was a veteran, I'm sure a combat veteran, and he heard us talking, and the scripture I was talking to Brother Leon about was, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." We said, "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And this brother heard it. And he run me down and said, "Brother, I just needed to hear that. I've been going through such a horrible time. The Word of God can take away fear." Why do we fear? Do we believe God or not? Is it going to take a great army of people to change the world or the United States? Or one. The Old Testament is full of one person that the Lord put into a position to change the world. What are you talking about? How about David? He remembered, and if anybody had a reason to be afraid, it was him when he's facing this dude that's like 10 foot tall. Israel is afraid. The king is afraid. He's hiding under the bed in his tent, more or less. This little kid I'd have to go over to read it, but it is so good. I'm not afraid of that uncircumcised Philistine that's defying the armies of the living God. Because he remembered that the Lord had delivered him. Has the Lord delivered us? He doth deliver and will yet deliver. I'll go. You know the story. I don't have to go through it. But it changed. Who won the war? Who won the battle? Who's running now? The giant's dead. The Philistines are running. Ain't the only one. What about the Nehemiahs? Went to the king. Cupbearer. Had this countenance about him. What about the Mordecai? Israel was doomed. They had a date for their destruction. Mordecai refused to bow down before Haman. Sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we cower down. Sometimes we forget God is able. We say it, but sometimes I don't think we believe it. Speaking of that, let's go to Daniel. Three Hebrew children. Their Chaldean names is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't think they ever forgot their Hebrew names. You ever think about what their Hebrew names mean? Let's look at the situation for a minute. I am King Nebuchadnezzar. Here is what I'm commanding you to do. And if you don't, I'm going to put you in a fiery furnace. Anytime you hear these musical instruments, and I won't go through all of them, it's a long list, you're to bow down and worship. And then my golden image is there too. Well, of course, there's always people that's envious of God's children. Hey, King, these guys aren't doing what you said. They did that with Daniel too and Darius. Hey, guys, I said to bow down before this when this music and my golden image. Let's read a little bit. And this is the words I wanted to emphasize. Nebuchadnezzar is in rage and fury, and he commands that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And he says down here, now I have made this commandment that you're supposed to bow down before my image. And the king says, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? He's fixing to find out. He's fixing to find out. Think about if our text is fear and trust, which one are these guys doing? They're not fearful. Think about it. Here's an oven. I don't even like to be warm, let alone hot. Don't like to be cold. But I want to be comfortable. So, okay, I'll worship your God just to keep from getting in trouble, you know. Nope, we're not going to do it, King. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're no excuses. If it be so, if it's his will, our God, whom we serve, there's a key there, whom we serve. We're not serving your gods, King, we're serving our God. Is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from thy hand, out of thy hand, O King. He's either going to deliver us out of that furnace, or if we die, we're not going to be here with you. No fear. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That didn't make the king mad. It made him furious. I don't think we can describe how mad he was. It says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. I mean, I don't know if you can describe anger in someone's face, but that's what it's describing here. You could, it's rage and hate and whatever against these three men. Number one, they defied the king. I'm the authority. You do what I say. Or else. His visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake to the command that the heat that should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. More than it was designed to be heated, if you will. Took his most mighty men. He's fixing to be a few men short. He didn't know that yet. You know, he might want to pick the coals, but he picks the three mighty men, however many of them there were. That were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and other garments and were cast into the midst of this fiery furnace. Still don't see any evidence that they were fearful. Them bright spiders. Don't remember. Come on. But I think they fear God more than Nebuchadnezzar. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Burn them up. Didn't touch them. You been through the fire a time or two? I'm not talking about literal. I'm talking about maybe some of that fear. And you were delivered many times. Sometimes I didn't even know I was in danger and was delivered. Sometimes my own ignorance, I was delivered from that too. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. What else were they going to say? I mean, they could end up in the fire. True. Oh, you're always right, king. Great fear is upon the people standing around there, I guarantee you. I don't know, one of these three mighty men or however many, they're burnt up. These three guys that was bound up and thrown in the fire, they're still in the fire. And they're not burnt. Before we go on, I want to read you, I'll tell you what the Hebrew names of these three men is: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, I didn't study what the Chaldean names mean, but I did look up what the Hebrew names mean of these three men. But I think we forget who we are. We're not children of the world. We're children of the king. Hananiah, God has favored. Is that ironic? Is that an accident? Mishael, who is what God is? Azariah, God has helped. Isn't that awesome? I think, if I remember right, there are three Chaldean names refer to three Chaldean gods. And it wasn't those gods that delivered them. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Who told Nebuchadnezzar there was a God other than his gods? Let alone that he had a son. Why are we afraid? Because we forget. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. What are we putting in our minds? Because he trusteth in thee. There's that, you said they talked about trust. I wouldn't hear it the first. But, you know, Brother Allen, if there's been one scripture I probably quoted more than 2 Chronicles 7:14, it would be Proverbs 3:5. Yeah. Trust in the Lord. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I don't understand sometimes why things go the way they do. But I know God is able. He's proven it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Go ahead, Brother David.